You're listening to this week's sermon from Saanich Baptist Church in Victoria. To watch the sermon online or for more resources, head to saanichbaptist.org. Have a great week.
Well, we talked last week about how there's the invisible church and the visible church. And when we gather together as the visible church, we are reminded that there's something magnificent going on in the spiritual realm that we're often not seeing. But when we do see it, it's life-changing. And I know for me, I have to fight sometimes to believe that there is something magnificent, spiritual, beautiful about the church. And reminding myself of that takes some discipline sometimes. But then we come across stories of people who tell that kind of beautiful transformation, and I wanted to share one with you today, and it's from a church member of a church in England, and here's his story.
I never really liked the church. I didn't even really like Christians that much. I used to think of it like a package deal, like you get Jesus, and so you get the church and Christians thrown. It's just part of the package, and there are some bits you like Jesus, some bits you don't like so much, just like the church and Christians. Used to find that a bit annoying, but I'd turn up the church and go through it. I didn't really enjoy going to church. And then one day, I was at the back of our church in East London, and someone said to me, oh, we need help to run the coffee team. And I was like working like 70, 80 hour week. I'm like, what? And they were like, yeah, Steve, we really need your help running the coffee team on a Sunday. And I was thinking, I'm a barrister, I'm not a barista. Like, I've got a job, I don't need another job to run the coffee team. But I just, you know, sometimes you just can't even think of what to say. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. Okay. And I instantly thought, why did I do that? So I turn up next week, like, you know, trying to get the cups and everything, get the coffee right. As I handed these cups to people, something really changed in me. I found myself, as I handed coffee to these people, growing in love for them. I was like, these people are amazing. Like, this is this extraordinarily diverse community. It's been gathered from across the area, probably not another place that looks as diverse and integrated as this. This is a miracle. And then even people I found a little bit more frustrating and complicated, as I handed them their coffee, I kind of grew in love for them. And I kind of basically fell in love with the church. And then I kind of went back to the person who'd asked me to do it. I said, we need a new coffee machine. We need better beans. We need better mugs. Like, come on, these are amazing people. I want this to be the best coffee that they get. You know, they're coming to church on a Sunday morning. I got more and more passionate. I started to build a team to serve coffee on a Sunday morning. I sometimes say, making coffee changed my life because I fell in love with the Church of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize why it was special. I didn't realize why it mattered. And as I made coffee for people, I suddenly realized, oh, the church is like the bride of Jesus Christ. It's like the thing he gave himself for. Like, the church is God's plan for the salvation of the world. There's no plan B, and God is going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, like, God is putting all his eggs in the church basket. And I realized over those few weeks, there's a beautiful thing here. Yes, it messes up. Yes, it makes mistakes. You'll never find a perfect church, but it's a beautiful thing. And I thought, that's what I want to spend my life building.
It's really funny when it comes to asking people to volunteer at church, because we as church leaders either shame people or ask them to do a favor. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want us to kind of engage the church as part of our discipleship. The reason I'm a pastor is, there's many number of different reasons, but one of the reasons is that it forces me to grow as a disciple in Jesus. And so when we invite you to volunteer, it's because we want you to grow in your relationship with Jesus, not to run a program. Church is not programs. We have programs, but we're not programs. We're a disciple-making movement. And so when we say, hey, if you want to volunteer, it's a point of connection. It's a point of participation. It's a point of partnership. It's a point of commitment. And so if you'd love to volunteer, we would love to find a place for you. You can scan that QR code, and there's a whole list of different opportunities to get connected. If there's nothing on there that you really kind of feel called to, let us know, and we'll try to figure it out. All right? Sound okay? So no guilt, but no asking for favors, just discipleship. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We have been in this series, in this book of 2 Corinthians, looking at grace. Grace being this really big, magnificent truth that establishes us as Christians. And grace is one of those words, though, that is hard to define. You know it when you when you taste it, when you glimpse it, but to describe it can be really, really difficult. Some people reduce grace to mercy, and I think mercy is a part of grace, but mercy isn't grace. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve, right? And we know that being a Christian is that Jesus has saved us from the punishment of our sins by taking those sins on himself, and he gives us mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead of death, he gives us eternal life. But grace is bigger than that. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve, right? When we get what we don't deserve. So not only does Jesus say, I will take your sins on myself, he also says, I will give you a new life. And that new life will have every spiritual blessing in